Hey Hiram, I hope you're doing well. I'm really enjoying listening to When Men Were Men. I'm finding it to be a really amazing podcast. I am loving the different perspectives that you bring to the table from different people, from different walks of life. I really enjoyed Alta's episode. I also enjoyed Zeeshan and Harris's. It's good to see that you're bringing these perspectives to the table and kind of challenging things as well, and getting asking people these questions that are really important in terms of what defines masculinity. I personally believe masculinity is about having a level of self-respect and being able to respect others, essentially. Really looking forward to your future podcasts. All the best. Take care.
A big thanks to Amber Kiran for sending in her voice message there. Now remember, if you ever have any thoughts, comments, anything you agree or disagree with on any of these episodes, then all you have to do is either from within the Anchor.fm app, you can go in there, or on the Anchor.fm website, you can use that to send in a message just like Amber did, and let us know your thoughts, and we may or may not include it in the episode. But it's always good to hear from you. When I first moved to London, the very first friend that I actually made was Kamran Qureshi. He is affectionately known as Dr. Dean, and he's a specialist in working with male youth. It's a subject that he's incredibly passionate about. This is somebody that you can really see it and read this passion on his face. And he's dedicated his whole life to this area and to this place. And I just absolutely had to speak to him, because every single time that I speak to him, I'm just staggered about what I don't know about the youth and what I need to know. And Cameron's the kind of person, he does very much hit things on the nose, so he has spoken very much without a filter today, but I find those kind of things refreshing, if I'm completely honest. It's not easy for everybody to hear certain things, but this is what's going on out there. You know, if people are not able to express themselves fully, then we're never really fully going to get the discourse that we're looking for. So, you know, I'm really trying to get opinions from far and wide, and whatever they may be, however bold those may be, we need to get those so we can find that middle path in between all of them. So Kamran, on this episode, he shares what's going on with the male youth in the, well, he speaks mostly about the Muslim community, but he also speaks about how it affects male youth all around the world. And then he also talks about aspects of how that's affecting or contributing to the marriage crisis. When men were men. When men were men.
I'm very, very, very busy. Glad to be here. Interesting topic. Fire away.
What's keeping you busy these days?
You always have these inquisitive questions, but what's keeping me busy? It's the projects. It's the mental health project for the youth, the marriage crisis, helping young people see the value in marriage, because it's not a numbers thing. People think that the reason people aren't getting married now is because they can't find anybody. Is actually a mental block, not the fact that there aren't enough people out there. It's just that there's culturally and mentally significant changes from the previous generation. So some people are just not bothered to get married or don't need to. Others have really high expectations and all the rest. So it's a long topic.
Tell me. I'm interested right now.
Okay, I'm gonna Yeah, go on.
What's changed? What has changed from, say, I mean, okay, you and I are in our 40s. You still look like you're 25, but we're in our 40s now.
I'm not in my 40s. How dare you say that? I'm not in my 40s.
How
I'll always be 28.
old are you? You're right, you look.
I stop at 28.
Okay, well, you look 28.
Yeah,
You look very young, mashallah.
It's quite offensive, because if I would never be able to youth work. If the youth knew how old I was, they'd never listen to me. So that's why we have to keep it under wraps. Yeah. So just
Okay.
there'd be hardly any youth. Yeah.
Here's
Anyway,
the
go ahead.
thing that ever since I've known you, right? And I've known you, what, about 6 years now, approximately, I think.
Yeah.
Ever since I've known you, you're like your whole life purpose, the thing that's always hugely on your mind. And, you know, for people that meet you, I think we all read it on your face, which is that you're always very, very concerned about the youth, and
Yeah.
specifically the male youth. And you always, I'm always really surprised. I'm always kind of, I'm more than surprised. I'm always staggered by how much you are on the pulse where the youth is concerned, and how much the rest of us are have no sense of the actual reality of what's going on right under our noses, like outside of our houses. We don't see any of this. So I'm interested in everything that you want to tell me. Tell me about the marriage situation. Why are the youth not wanting to get married? And what is this mental block? Tell me everything.
Actually, I was gonna do a whole podcast on marriage. If you want to make it about that, we could, because it does deserve a
Yeah,
podcast,
fire away.
obviously. But yeah, I'm gonna link it to manhood, right? And the whole man issue, because that's really your area. But I want to link it up because it's very much related to that. So, typically, attitudes have changed in terms of, obviously, you know that careers come first now. For most people, so the whole setup of the family, and this isn't just a Muslim thing. This is everybody in the whole world. And the irony is, Khurram, that we think a lot of problems are Muslim issues, but it's they're universal issues. You know, you can sit, and I've done that. I've sat with people of different races, religions in one room, and we all say the same thing about the youth. So we're not actually unique, are we? Then, if we have the same issues. And we're discussing the same solutions in a way, then what's unique about our experience is not. It's not. So in terms of why people not getting married, there are a lot of people out there looking for the perfect person, but they're saying, look, I could do better than this person. And my own sort of take on marriage is that if you get something good, take it. You know, if you're gonna keep looking for that the person that's better than the one you just met, or the perfect person, or the one who ticks your Excel sheet in every box, you will be looking for a very long time, because I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, nobody is. So going down that route, that's the one, the expectation. The other one, careers have overtaken many people's lives. So the promotion, getting to ne the next level, the next tier or earning, level, that's really got people busy. And then there's the other thing that I think we've gone from one extreme to the other. So what happened was, we if you remember in the 60s and 70s, all the whole
I
migration,
wasn't
our
born in the
parents,
60s and 70s.
no, our parents when they
Okay.
came here.
Okay.
So yeah. No, so when our parents came here, they had obviously there was a lot of marriages and a lot of cousin marriages, a lot of arranged marriages, and that was the norm. But there was a lot of communities that did just cousin marriages, yeah, and that was the norm, and you couldn't marry anyone other than your cousin. Then now we've gone to the complete other extreme, where nobody marries their cousin. So if there is somebody that wanted to marry their cousin, for example, it's highly unlikely now. Yeah, so it's gone from one end to the other of the spectrum, and then you've got the middle ground, where people didn't marry their cousins, but are now struggling to either find the right person in their definition of the right person, or just even being mentally in sort of marriage mode. And one of the reasons for that, which nobody talks about, is some of the youth have had so many relationships by now by the time they hit 30 that they're a bit tired, they're a bit tired. These are secret relationships, obviously. They don't really tell their parents, but they're tired now. They're tired of love and breakups and all that. They don't have any energy left to, to have a marriage. So that's just a few examples, but of what's going on. The other is a lot of guys in terms of. So I met a guy who's, and it's ironic that a lot of the people that are really active in the community and helping people in the community, in the mosques and outside, and doing projects, running projects, themselves are not married. A lot of preachers that are not married, and one particular guy comes to mind who these are his words. People do open up to me. I don't know why, but they do. So he's a really well-known guy, and he comes and he says to me, "Look, I can't get married because I look at well, he this what he said. I look at porn stars, and they're so beautiful, and then I look at my friends' wives. These are his words. My friends' wives are three or fours out of 10,
Oh my God.
and he goes, they're not doing too well. So I'm not going to find someone who's a 9 out of 10. And to be honest." He himself, poor guy, he's a 3 or 4 out of 10 himself. If you want to go by that,
Irony
if
of
you
the
want to go,
situation.
if you want to, if you want to go by judging people, I'm not here to judge anybody. Everyone's beautiful, all that stuff. But you're not exactly, Tom Cruise or whatever.
But don't you think this is the don't you think that this is the height of quote unquote your brother is your mirror, that what people are seeing in others is actually what is in themselves, that this person sees everybody as a three and a four, but probably is actually seeing his own reflection in other people. There seems to be this aspect
Yeah,
of
that's
this.
possible. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, if that guy is waiting on a 9 or a 10, and he's told me he watches a lot of that filth, then he's going to really struggle, one, finding somebody, and then staying married with those kind of addictions and that kind of mindset. What expectations is he going to have? Whatever. But these are the kind of things that in the real world I deal with, and you don't. Your local mosque's not going to know about,
Well, I feel really
or your
sorry for the
local.
women, though. I mean, if the majority of the men, the male youth, have this kind of attitude, then there's no hope for the women whatsoever.
Okay, you know what? That's really interesting you bring that up, but I'm going to officially call this the marriage
Okay.
podcast.
All right.
Because it's gonna go on to marriage now. Okay, it's really interesting because I met a barrister. A sister at one of the events I was doing, and somebody came up to me and said, we really liked the real talk. It was about careers and marriage as well, came into it and everything. She comes up to me and says that I've got a whole database of sisters that want to get married, and it's all the brothers' fault. Yeah, I said, why is it the men's fault? She said, because they have too high expectations. And I said, look, in my experience, it's both groups. It's the girls also expecting too much, and the boys as well. So it's really, and I was shocked because she's a barrister, and I thought you'd be more impartial, or you'd look at both sides of the case, as it might, in a quote unquote case. But she was really, really, it was a one-sided, very biased view that it's just the men, when it's not just the men, it is the women as well. And the thing is, yeah, but you're right. If you look at, so I went to Karachi, well, last year. Really interesting, massive city, over 20, 22 million people, but they have a massive problem, a marriage problem there. Traditionally, Pakistan, you have arranged marriages, the families will arrange it for you, and then you have the big wedding. But now there's these millions of young women who are unmarried in Karachi and other cities. And the reason is, one of the reasons is, if you look at Pakistani dramas, the drama series, all the girls are slim and beautiful, aren't they?
I don't
And
know. I don't
so
watch them.
everybody wants. Oh well, just generally speaking. But if you're expecting a trophy daughter-in-law that's going to be slim and beautiful and in your home as a sort of prize, then there's only a limited amount of those around, isn't it? I mean, how many people are drop dead gorgeous? Less than 1% in the world. So everybody can't marry the 1%. Not that you should be looking for that anyway. There are more important things than that. But the point is that if everyone's looking for a certain kind of daughter-in-law, because it's not even about the guy and girl getting married, it's about what the parents want, isn't it? So
In those cultures, yeah.
that's just an interesting, yeah, in those cultures. Here we have a different, it's a different board game, isn't it? Because now kids are sort of deciding for themselves. But I have had a lot of sisters say that we wouldn't mind our parents finding us somebody because we can't find anybody. You know,
Yeah.
they've looked themselves, they've tried, and we wouldn't mind if somebody proposed something to us. So actually going towards the older traditional way, which is interesting.
Full
But yeah,
circle.
it is the guys. But then again, I know personally homes where there's like four brothers, all educated, good earners in the corporate sector, blah blah blah, but none of them are married. I know homes where there's three sisters, none of them are married. And you know, it's crazy, isn't it? When you know, I'm not saying it's not about saying everyone has to get married, but you know,
We're just talking about what
one in
you're really
three of
talking
us.
about is a, I mean, okay, I mean, in the Eastern world or in Islamic societies or Muslim societies, you know, the end goal is marriage. But what you're saying is that nobody can hold down a permanent relationship, is what you're saying, right? But those three
For
brothers,
many, not nobody, but many people nowadays,
many
obviously,
people,
because
okay,
you know, we're
yeah.
down, we're down to one in three now. So marriage is
Wow.
for one in three of our community now. So it used to be 99%. So we've been asleep for a whole generation. So like, just like what you said, when you're saying that you noticed that I'm picking things up because I'm living, breathing it all the time. So I'm seeing a different world to what you see at home, or you
Yeah.
see when you see a youth, that, you know, it's a different world.
Okay,
Yeah.
so I
But yeah.
the question that I've got for you, I've got two questions because one can kind of follow on to the other. The surely not every guy is a porn addict. I mean, okay, I remember once you said to me that somebody somewhere in America or somewhere like that, they wanted to do a study on the differences
Yeah,
between.
Professor Lachenet,
Okay, and he wanted to do a study on the difference between guys that had seen pornography and the guys that hadn't. And I remember you saying to me, which really surprised me, was that he was unable to find a guy that hadn't seen pornography, right? So, okay, but what I'm saying is there must be guys out there that aren't addicts. They're not, you know, that pornography doesn't really rule their lives, number one. But also, number two, you know, that can't be the only reason. That you know the guys are
Yeah, it's not.
it's okay so what is that? And also I would tell me also about like okay how far do you feel that the majority of people are removed from what's really going on with the youth as well? I know there's I've quite a few in there because there's a lot we can talk about there but
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. So obviously, pornography is not the main reason or the one reason. It's one of the reasons. So it's not the biggest issue. But it is for some people, it isn't for others. So it's just one of the causes. But the thing here is how many people watch it. The thing is, if you look at mainstream stats, and you can Google reliable sources, it's no different for us. And that's the key message here, that I'm drilling this into the community, that we're no different. Our stats for, I mean, I just had a call 2 hours ago from a youth who's got the same problem. Luckily though, thank God, after 20 years of the internet, now these broadband providers, the ISPs, are now blocking porn. Like, you can't just type it in and it'll come up. You have to use other ways. That's really good for the next generation, and all this, so this card verification thing. So I'm really glad that's happened. So
Okay.
that will bring it down anyway, because they won't be able to access it as much. Obviously, where there's a will, there's a way, but that will help a lot of people. So that's one thing. So it's not only that. Your second question was about, sorry, I forgot what you were saying. The second part
How
of the
much,
question.
if porn's not the only problem, you know, what are the other
Yeah.
issues, that are
Self-esteem. So
okay.
yeah, so self-esteem, confidence. So in the world of Instagram and Snapchat and all the rest, we always talk about this, but if you don't feel you're beautiful enough, I've got like a, I know a guy, really amazing guy, good looking guy, bright, intelligent, on his dean, he knows his stuff, he knows about life, very clued up, but he doesn't feel he's good looking enough, good physically enough to get married. Because like, what will it be like for me to get married? Will I succeed in marriage? Will she think I'm not capable of doing things. He literally is thinking of sexual things as well. But the thing is that they're comparing themselves to what's out there on social media, whereas they don't know the reality. A lot of these
So
people themselves
it's
have
not just
problems.
pornography then, is it? I mean, it really is
No,
Instagram as well. It's the lifestyle. It's not. It's the lifestyle that's created by Instagram, and you know the guy who's earning it all and has the car, and he looks good, and he's good in every single way. And then for the women, it seems to be like, you know, the top
Apparently
Instagram
good in
images.
every single way.
Yeah.
This is a show. It's a show reel, isn't it? It's not
Yeah.
real life. So everyone who's apparently that's then you've got self-esteem issues. You've got depression, which is quite common for amongst many of our youth. So a lot of if you're depressed, you're not really looking for marriage, are you?
No.
You're worried about your own issues. Interestingly, because I get all the calls, you see. Interestingly, about a month ago, I had somebody who's really, really, he's a good motivational speaker. He's very active. He's really good at what he does. He inspires other people. Yeah, he had his own issue about marriage, and he was going through a massive crisis because I can't even look after myself. This is a grown man. He's probably 27, 28, because I can't even look after myself, so I'm gonna call off the wedding. So he called off the wedding.
Oh my
You know,
God.
he was deeply in love with her. They were in love. They were happy with everything. But because I've got my own issues, I've got anxiety. I've got social anxiety, other anxiety. I get breathless. I get hot flushes. You know, all the rest, all these symptoms. And he pulled out. You know, so. Then he felt resentment to the woman. The woman, obviously very upset. But so, you know, people are pulling out. Better to pull out before, isn't it, than after? But still, it's this kind of behavior, or attitudes that I'm seeing. And people are in our community. Oh, this is the brilliant thing that you asked. So what about the community? The thing is, people know that there's a big issue in their own homes, but they thought it was only them. And so now that I've been doing this Lost tour, you know, the Lost, the Muslim Youth in Crisis tour, I'm bringing it out to everybody. And this is the evidence that we're all in deep, you know, I don't want to use any profanities, but we're all in deep trouble.
Deep
Is
doo doo.
that, yeah, deep doo-doo. I did this conference. 450 people come to this hall to listen to the Lost Crisis whole thing. And there's every demographic in the hall, right? So imagine 450 people, youth as well, parents as well, every generation's there. And there is not a single, like they say in Asian, pin drop silence here, complete silence in the hall while I speak. It's not because I'm amazing, but the content is amazing. Not me, but the content that, you know, I've been blessed to know. So when I was speaking to 450 people, you should expect kids to be running around screaming. You know, someone talks, someone on the phone. Complete silence in a massive hall, and every demographic says so. There's rich, you know, well-off families. There's people from council estates. There's single moms. Everyone's there, and no one in that room disagrees with what I'm saying in that way. Because I got the feedback later as well. But the point is, I'm going to be the odd person, but generally, overwhelmingly, people know there's a crisis, but they don't know how serious it is. For me, it's generational. It's game over if we don't change anything. Fathers is just maybe a problem at home.
And how
Yeah.
serious is it
So
now?
in terms of
How
like,
serious is it with the male youth now?
with the male youth, you get some that are. This is the irony, though. The last three, like, counseling sessions I've done with parents, right? With parents who've got kids. This is really interesting, and this is what really shocks me. The last three sessions I've done with all been parents, right? One was the couple were both doctors. The other was actually a doctor as well. Another was doctor, but even those that are not doctors or whatever, professionals, and their kids are A star students. And the last three main counseling sessions I've done have all been with exceptionally bright kids, exceptionally bright kids, with low self-esteem, anxiety issues, and that. That's really interesting, you know. We normally think of council estates, poor kids, low attainment in education, run-down schools. But these are kids who've got everything, and maybe because they have everything, they can't manage life. So it's really interesting.
But you just touched on something really interesting there, because I've been having this constant debate with my own wife, in fact, about this idea that and especially in it's not just Muslim communities, but Eastern cultures, the Indo-Pak region, these kind of cultures, there's this, and in fact, to be honest, this is even so prevalent in the West as well, that there's this idea that if you're quote unquote educated, you are therefore civilized, and if you are civilized, you are therefore, you've got it all together. And if you're smart, and smart being you've got a high IQ, then you are capable of everything in life. You're confident, you've got good social skills, and you'll get a good wife or you get a good husband, and your life will be great and everything will be fantastic. Yet, based on what you're telling me and my own observation has constantly been, you can find the high achievers. In fact, the high achievers in the schools, they have even more problems than the kids that are more well-rounded. So the education system really is causing gaps and cracks, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm actually talking about that on Friday. The thing is, people don't like to hear it, and the thing is, okay, so you get two types of, well, you only get the one type in the Asian community. That's the one with the grades. But the thing is this, it's like what Jack Ma said, isn't it? He said, look, I'd rather have my son be a Greek B-grade student because then he'll have time to do other things. So he can see, if my son was third or fourth in class, then he'd have time to do other things. And that's actually absolutely true, because once you go down the route of just grades and nothing else, and you don't have time for any other reflections, you're too busy with your work. It's an immense amount of work,
It creates a warped personality, though, doesn't it? It's skewed in one direction.
They don't have to be warped, but they can be. Yeah. The thing is this, if you look at, as a lecturer, I've taught every level, alhamdulillah, like every level of education. So you're talking from primary school up to university masters, right? I've taught everything and I've seen the difference. And what I'll tell you is, when you go to college level, you'll see, if I'm doing, let's say, a mentoring or assessment of students, how their progress, right? I'm just assessing their progress. When I see a BTEC student, so somebody doing BTEC, and then I see an A-level student, they're on the same level, same year. So they're both year 12, year 13 students. There is a big difference in their behavior and attitude. The A-level students are much more calm, much more serious. The BTEC ones, in my experience, have been a lot more, some of them are challenging behavior, some of them just aren't bothered. But so education does improve something, definitely. But it's not for everybody that it does that. But the main thing is attitude, because you get celebrities, who are uneducated, become really big in Hollywood or Bollywood or whatever it might be. And then they start speaking in a really civilized manner and they speak really calm, and they start to quote unquote become civilized in how they speak, or so it means it's a skill you can gain even without a full education. So being civilized is something you can learn,
So the idea of civility and education, they're not really synonymous, are they? They're two separate things, but to live in a society where they become the same thing.
Yeah, but the thing, the reason for that is the stereotype. So when you think of an uneducated person, let's say he's a low-income person who's an alcoholic, and the way they'll speak to you, like, listen, mate, you got a pal, mate. You wouldn't expect someone who's done a master's coming out of a Canary Wharf to talk like that. That's the why. That's why said, So that's the reason for that. But it's a life skill, isn't it? It's a life skill.
Talking about the warped personality, I won't mention any names, but I knew someone that was a, in fact, I know multiple people that fit this bill, but one person in particular that really stood out for me was, this was somebody that did really, it was a guy, and he did really well in his A-levels. He went to Oxford. He got a first class degree. He got a job before he'd even finished his degree. And, he absolutely raked it in. Did really, really well, but he just had no personality, because all his energy had gone into study, and because he had no personality, that part of his being
just didn't develop. And then when it came to getting married, it was like he just became autistic. You know, he showed signs of autism, and he had no concept of, it's like he just wasn't, it was academically developed, but not emotionally developed. And so his marriage fell apart twice.
The sad thing is, though, that if you're not well-rounded, you don't have a, that's what I keep saying to parents, you've got to have the extracurricular, you've got to do other stuff, you've got to have other hobbies. Otherwise, you just become, you become in a vegetated state, isn't it? You just become like a cabbage. But the thing is that, you get a lot of push but now we're going on to education which is another subject for another day as well. But the system isn't equipped for today's world at all. You know, it's not, because technology has moved on from the schooling system. You can learn things very quickly now. So you don't need to.
You don't need 3 or 4 year long courses, do you?
I mean, well, exactly. A kid just said that to me yesterday. A 16, 17 year old deciding on his A levels said to me, "You know what? Whatever degree you get," he asked me, but he was saying as a comment as well. He said, "Whatever degree you get, when you go to that job, they're going to train you anyway."
I know exactly.
They're going to train you. It's nothing to do with your degree. They're going to train you again anyway. So
why didn't you just go straight to the job?
Yeah, if they'll hire you. Yeah, but some will, some won't. But now the attitude is changing. I mean, the whole IT field does not require a degree. Whether you're a project manager, program manager, your head of services, anything, does not require a degree in the whole IT field. So that's a unique field. It's quite interesting. They do not require any qualifications. You can do a few courses here and there, but that's about it. You don't need any. And I think that stems from the need of the industry. They needed people that could do the job. So they said, forget the degree. If you can do the job in IT, and that doesn't just mean technical stuff. If you can do it, and we'll hire you. So that's proof.
That's the way that it used to be anyway. And I think it sounds like we're going full circle on a lot of things now. But tell me one thing. If you had a magic pill, or if you had, if you had an endless amount of resources, what is something that you would do for these males that are in crisis?
Brilliant, brilliant question. I'd go back to the 80s, so back to the future, and I'd look at some of the parenting that we did right. Because now we've got this crazy world of positive parenting. I'm not against positive parenting, but it's gone too far, and look at the mental health crisis. If all this self-esteem parenting was so fantastic, we'd have brilliant results. And we've got the opposite. We've got mental health crisis amongst the youth. So that's
you're
going
to you're gonna have to elaborate on what positive parenting is, because I don't have kids.
So positive parenting is, always boosting their self-esteem, never being negative at all, always giving prizes at every opportunity, things like that. The things that modern parents are all doing, the whole world is doing. And then we're pulling our hair out with our kids because they're a nightmare. So that's in a nutshell, that's pretty much what it means. You had another question.
So what did we do right in the 80s?
What we did a lot of wrong, didn't we? The typical slap, the Asian jokes you get on YouTube. We did all that wrong.
But there was
over-disciplinary, but there was some aspects that were good, like instilling values and making kids do things sometimes. Now we always ask them. We ask them when there's no, they've become the owners now. The kids control everything now, for many families. So that's what's changed.
So there's a lot of wrapping up in cotton wool now. So then they're not used to the harsh reality of the world when they grow older.
Yeah. The other thing, before I forget about the 80s or whatever, that kind of parenting was, kids were allowed to be kids and get on with things. They could go out and play. We know all the memes on social media, but literally they could grow and learn and fall over and see things for themselves and explore. That's no longer, even exploration for a lot of parents now is buying a £50 science pack from Argos, not going out in a field or something. You know what I mean? So even exploration is fake.
In fact, there was a guy that tweeted about a week or so ago on Twitter, and I was actually getting in a conversation with him, because he was saying that what you see in Mexico is you see these kids that are out, even at night, you see kids out on the streets just happily playing and just being children. And he said that but if you go to California, all of that's disappeared. You don't see that anywhere. And I said, you know what? It's interesting you say that, because the one thing that really stood out to me culturally, there's a few things, but one thing that really stood out culturally for me in Spain was when I went there, was that there were these kids. You know, it'd be like 8, 9 o'clock at night, which is not particularly late. On, you know, this is a winter evening. I'd be coming home from a day out on a holiday, and there would be kids playing on the streets in the dark. But and there was not a single parent in sight. But it was very obvious that there was no worry. Nobody had to have anything to worry about where the kids were concerned. They were happily playing with each other, and they weren't steering onto the roads, and there weren't any drugs or anything like that. And it was a reasonably, I'm sure the parents probably weren't that far away from them, but it was a safe enough environment. But in the UK, that's mostly now disappeared. I mean, I think my generation was the last generation that played outside.
Well, they do, like I said, it's all fake parenting. They do this mock street play now as well, where parents in the neighborhood will block off the end of the road so kids can play on the road. So they're still there to guard them. So it's still not psychologically
It's a lot of
empowering.
helicopter
It's just
parenting
still,
then.
it's it, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So that's what's
So it sounds like to me what you're saying is that the, you know, there seem to be things that are affecting the development of the child, that has been affecting the development of the male youth. So, you know, they've been wrapped up in cotton wool as they've been getting older. Then the academia has been warping their personalities. It sounds like they just haven't had a chance to really fully develop, which then doesn't
Yeah,
give
but
them the requisite
yeah.
tools to deal with the world, basically.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to do the Duke of Edinburgh Award and go camping for a certificate, not because camping will build resilience, then you're only going to do it and moan and come back, get a certificate. You're not going to learn anything, you know, and that's what's happening. It's all tick box exercises to get to uni, get it on the UCAS application. But you ask these kids, do you want to go again? No, I'm not. I don't want to go in nature again. I only did it for the UCAS, you know, my parents asked me to.
No way.
That kind, yeah, that's quite common. You know, there's actually a really good TED talk about a young girl who, well, not a girl, but a lady who said she went into a meeting of youth who were all going to get to uni, and she said that I was the only one in the room who actually wanted to do something for the sake of doing it, like community projects, like for the homeless. They all were talking about how it would look on the resume. So that's how we've nurtured these kids. We taught them everything you do is for
It's about your
not for the
career.
right reasons. Yeah. It's about your career. Do it for that. Go work in the care home so you can put it on your CV. Don't do it
What
because you want
about
to be
wealth
more human.
inequality, though? I mean, there's increasing wealth inequality now, right? You no
Oh
longer can
yeah.
survive on a single financial, a single
Absolutely.
breadwinner. So does that not make it harder for the kids to not worry about, you know, about money and income? I mean, we're all struggling with this now, right?
Yeah, but the thing is this, you get those parents who don't let their kids get a job in McDonald's because they're studying, yeah? When McDonald's, even a job in McDonald's will give you good life skills. You'll deal with people, you'll work hard, you'll know the value of money. You interact with people, you get customers that are nice and horrible. It'll teach you a lot.
Character building.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll get parents who cushion their kids from a part-time job or anything in life so that you concentrate on getting the grades. And then what happens? Like you said, some of them turn out with issues. Not everybody does, but some of them do. So, but it's not about education, isn't a bad thing, of course. But the thing is, it has to be well balanced, you know. So, for this generation of men that are growing up, they're highly sexualized by society. That's one big issue, and it's really affecting. Warping a lot of the youth, their minds and behaviors. A lot of women online, even on Muslim and marriage sites, even others, even in reality, have told me that a lot of the men are very pervy nowadays. Very, they're not. A lot of the men
Creepy.
who are creepy. Exactly, that's the word. They're very creepy. They don't have that civility, even that haya or shame or anything that, you know, they respect a woman. They're very any chance they get, they want to get creepy. A lot of women have said that. A lot of Muslim women have said that, and it just tells you a lot about what's going on, you know. And the parents are none the wiser, you know, they don't know about this thing because
But
it is a
Andrew, you know,
double life.
one
They're
thing that
used to it.
I've noticed, right? I've noticed, like, when I go out, I remember once, and this has happened to me multiple times. I went out to a group dinner with a bunch of boys about 4 or 5 months, and in fact, I can't remember how long ago it was, maybe about a year ago. And I remember when I went there, and we had the dinner, and we were out, like, looking for some dessert, some hot chocolate and stuff. And everybody had been kind of talking to each other and things, and I hadn't done that much talking up until this point. And then it kind of naturally the attention kind of came towards me, and I started speaking. And I found that every 20 or 30 seconds, somebody, there was four or five of us, it might have been six or seven of us, some guy would let out a giggle. And as time went on, I started to realize that the reason why the giggle was coming out was because I would say something, and then they would interpret that as innuendo. And then I after a bit, about like half an hour or so, maybe about an hour or so, I started getting really annoyed with it because I was like, "This is a bit much now." And they kept saying to me, "You just—it's not us, it's you. You keep doing innuendo." And I had no such intention in my mind at all. And I thought to myself, "Well, I mean, I haven't been in the corporate culture for a very long time—a good 20 years." And I wondered if, corporate culture, there seems to be a lot of this in corporate culture now that I'm very much removed from. I don't have this stuff, but I was actually very surprised myself. I mean, the generation previous to me, there wasn't any of that going on, and it was quite, I mean, these guys were all just slightly younger than I was, but it was quite a shock to me, if I'm honest.
But there is we're taught to compete, isn't it? We're not taught to help each other or raise each other, like the Chinese saying, a rising tide raises all boats. We're told pull each other down, succeed, and make more money, do better. And this is our culture, isn't it, in the West, Western philosophy, that you've got to be the best, survivor of the fittest, blah blah blah, which I don't believe is true at all. We should be helping each other and raise each other together, but you get that. And if, like you said, if you're in a culture, so I actually know somebody who worked, he's just stopped working now, but he worked directly with Bill Gates, literally his right-hand man for a project. And he said, I was telling Bill Gates the truth about everything. So when projects were not going well or not going to plan, he will tell him straight on his face. And he goes, everyone around me was a yes man. And he goes, when I'd go into meetings with my colleagues without Bill Gates there, he said, when I'd go into a meeting without him, they would say to me, he would see the insecurity in them. They were so insecure, and they wanted to make sure they keep their jobs, so they'll just say anything. And the reason was they had committed to so much of a lifestyle change. You know, the car's got to be paid for every month, the mortgage, the holidays, the fancy gadgets, that they were scared to lose all that. So they would literally backbite, slander, stab each other in the back just to keep. You're used to putting people down or, making fun of other people or whatever, So, yeah. It's what something can that can happen. But generally, I've noticed that. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening. I'm just
Okay.
really
Gen
staggered by what you're telling me.
Okay. Yeah. And then that's a true story. He actually does work with Bill Gates. It's not just a made up thing, because I've known the guy for 20 years, and I've got pictures with him and everything. He's got pictures with Bill Gates and all the projects. But anyway, the what happens is, when you get people who have a certain lifestyle to maintain, you can get very selfish. You can get very, very personal, and you want to. You got to stay in the race, isn't it? It's the rat
Yeah.
race. So that really affects people.
Okay. Well, look, we're getting close to running out of time now, but I mean,
Yeah.
it's been quite a somber episode, I think. It's been quite it's been quite
Yeah.
sobering.
I'll leave it on
Yeah,
hope, though. I'll
give me
leave it on
something.
hope,
Yeah,
though. I'll
give
tell
me
you what.
something of hope,
Yeah,
because this
of
has been
course.
rather sobering, to be honest.
Of course. But we had to have that discussion, and I have to have it until the community wakes up. And I know people just want everything to be, but that's why we're doing a tour now, the solutions tour. So we're coming back with a tour called Hope, Solutions to the Muslim Youth Crisis. So that will be the next tour. But in terms of hope, that the good news is that these young people that we're talking about are really good people. What I mean by that, they're genuine people, they're honest, and that's the foundation of any good. These youth, our youth, are actually really good kids, you know.
Yeah.
And we can really build on and work on that. So they're not bad kids. It's not their fault that they live in a world that's so challenging. So that's one thing, we can really nurture them because they are not bad kids. They've just been misguided or misparented or whatever you might want to say. So the one thing, we can nurture the good in them, that they actually, the other thing they really, really want is answers. They want to learn. Mm-hmm. They want answers. So they're actually asking for them, which is a really good thing, because if somebody doesn't want answers, then you can't help them.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty of the youth nowadays is that they do want to learn. And that's such a beautiful thing, because we can help them because they want to know. So there's two really good positives. The one that they're good, and the next that they want answers. They want to know. We need to provide them with that guidance, mentoring them and guiding them. So, and you know, inshallah, things will work out. You know,
okay.
We will get there. So we won't lose hope. But what I mean is that if we don't act, it's only going to get worse. But we can see that there are gems out there, and there are amazing young people out there. We can produce more of them if we help. You know, that's really what we want to do.
Okay.
So yeah, it's been really lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Cameron.
Let me know
for
when
coming
the podcast
on board.
Is out, so I can.
Yeah.
Inshallah, I'll speak to you soon.
Inshallah. Take care.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Take it.
Well, that was a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this particular episode on the When Men Were Men podcast. If you have any thoughts, if you want to send in anything that you thought about this particular episode or any previous episode, you can actually go to the anchor.fm website and send in a voice message. So if you're listening to this on the app, just click the voice message button and send in your voice message of your thoughts. A minute, 2 minutes, whatever you want to say, whether you disagree with something, whether you agree with something, just your general thoughts, whatever they might be, feel free to send those in. Obviously, keep it civilized. I can't believe I have to say this in this day and age. Let's have some civilized discourse about this. And if you'd like to learn more about me, if you can go to either the anchor.fm/Khurram Malik, that's Khuram hyphen Malik, that's probably where some of you are already listening to this, you'll see the link to my website. If you don't, if you're listening to this somewhere else, then you can go to krmmalik.com, which is K-R-M-M, that's two M's, A-L-I-K.com. And on there, you'll have all contact details for me. If you want to get in touch, or if you know somebody that should be on this show with me, then let's talk about that.